Okay, so when actually where we started with this problem was because we were interested in doing some calculations with Kondo, and we discovered that there were more subtleties that were previously appreciated. So now in the second part, I'm going to tell you about what are the implications of all these considerations regarding bosonization when you look at what we call the two-lead Kondo problem. So there was. Nina was telling you about this paper, and so now I'm going to be telling you about the second one. And well, she made my job easy because she went over all the technical subtleties, and now I just can take these things and use them and talk about the physics of Kondo. Well, so Kondo is a problem with a long history, and it's a prototype where one needs to develop and apply a non-perturbative techniques. It's a, you know, an asymptotically free problem that flows to strong coupling in the infrared, so one needs to understand the strong coupling fixed point. One needs something beyond perturbation theory, and so there are things like numerical RG, Betti-Ansatz boundary conformal theory, bosonization. Those are some of the main things that are used. There are other methods, Monte Carlo, large-N expansions, and all of them contribute. And we are interested in studying the Kondo problem in the context of quantum dots and transport, and then most of these techniques cannot be generalized to that context. The ones that are actually amenable to that, combining them with Keldysh techniques, are bosonization and here large N methods as well. So in that sense, bosonization is special because it's going to give, but this is an approximate method. So bosonization is going to be special because it's going to give us some exact results in some particular limit that is known as the Toulouse limit, because Toulouse was the first one to do it for the single channel case. So I'm going to be concerned with this, the Toulouse and Emery-Kibelson results. So the timeline is, these ideas were first used by Toulouse, and then Pedro Schlottmann used this using the language of bosonization for the single channel model, and then Emery and Kibelson used this in the early 90s. They realized ways of using bosonization and find a solution for the some particular limit of an isotropic two-channel Kondo model. And soon after, Schiller and Hirschfeld generalized that to what I call the two-lead Kondo model, which is the two-channel Kondo model plus some extra terms. And let me go and show you that. So we have two leads as before, but now our barrier is active. It has a quantum degree of freedom that is a spin impurity. And the spin impurity can have a exchange with some magnetic exchange with the electrons in either the left lead or the right lead independently. That's the physics of the two-channel Kondo problem. And when you go to the two-lead Kondo problem, you have one more term that are these interlead terms. So this notation is intralead, interlead, and so you can go from lead L to L prime, and at the same time you flip spin, or you can do it with this particular term. So for the Toulouse point, you consider the particular case where the interlead JC is set to zero, the intralead JC is going to be tuned to its maximal value, so think of it as sending it to infinity, and you keep all of this there in the problem, and you see what's the you ask questions like what's the transport, what's the IV characteristic of this system in that limit, because that's a solvable limit. Well, okay, so you can bosonize, debosonize, and there are one can think of the similar discussions as Nana was saying, these dictionaries, and these dictionaries are actually something that the dictionary is equivalent to the kind of things that you need to do to deal with Klein factors. So this is just to tell, okay, so the Klein factors actually are set up according to one of those dictionaries, and once you have one of these dictionaries, you can, this is the full dictionary actually, and any of these dictionaries, you can start from this and derive this one or this one. So so only one of these is independent. The dictionary is physical, it's just given by, let's say, pick this one, two channel Kondo. So I'm going to do a spin flip by exchanging spin with impurity on the right lid. So okay, so there is the charge is not changing, the lid is not changing, but the spin is changing by one. So in the language of the new fermions, there's going you go from down spin to up spin to up spin. So you're actually creating one extra spin, and you're doing it on the right lid. So you are creating a spin lead as well, because the spin is changing. So like that, you can see that those you can always identify bilinears from the original fermions with certain bilinears on the new fermions based on the physical content of them. And what the dictionary is doing is fixing arbitrary phases, because you don't know which one to put first, and you have to choose some conventions, so you have to choose some phases. And what I'm telling you is four phases are independent, and you can derive the ones in the other ones this way. So that's the that's the treatment of Klein factors that was actually set up by people before us, so Saran and von Delft and Fabrizio. They have the papers with this discussion first appeared in the late 90s. And so now I do this BDB-based refermionization. So I bosonize, change bases, shift the bosons up as appropriate, and debosonize, and keep all these end twiddles hanging around. And so this is what I get. So conventionally, these end twiddles, people just think of them as expansion around half filling, and so they just ignore them or put them to one. Okay? So then these fractions are not there, and you have these terms like this. And then what you get is this Majorana picture of the two-channel Kondo fixed point. See, if I take, for instance, here common factor, I take the intra lead terms, so the two-channel Kondo terms. So I take the psi s common factor, so I get its common factor of d dagger minus d when you exchange the order here, and get a minus sign. And for this d dagger also, you get the d dagger minus d as well. So there's a d dagger minus d common factor of psi s plus psi s dagger. So you get a hybridization between two Majorana components. And in this case, so d dagger minus d is sitting there, and d dagger plus d disappear from the problem. It's not there anymore, so it's not coupled by the impurity anymore. So that explains the residual entropy. And what the the cotunneling terms or interlead terms do is they factorize in a similar way, but with the dagger plus d instead. So the other Majorana component of this local fermion that represents now the impurity is the one that is absorbed. So now you have the situation that corresponds to quantum dots. So you go back to single channel Kondo physics, as was pointed out early on when looking at how Kondo physics comes out in the quantum dot context, and this is the picture. But now, if you look at the end twiddles, you cannot do this taking common factor anymore, because I was taking common factor one from here and one from there, but they don't have the same thing multiplying. It's actually this that stops you from doing that. And what is the one that is stopping? So in this case, the one that is stopping you from doing that is this end twiddle L. And I have end twiddle L plus and end twiddle L minus. And this is telling me is that these exchange processes are happening either with the right lead or with the left lead. And if you are actually combining them, you are kind of mixing up exchange processes. You are trying to start your exchange process in the right lead, but ending it on the left lead, or vice versa. Okay. So it's something that is not there in the original problem. It's not the physics of the problem you set up to start with. Okay. So this Majorana fermion is going to be there only if you can treat the two leads, if you allow yourself to fluctuate between the two leads freely beyond the dynamics that is captured by the Hamiltonian. So you need to be treating this in some kind of mean field way and in presence of some buff that somehow allows you to do that in order to recover that. It's a little bit like the Majoras in the KitIF chain are there if you have an exactly pairing, if you're in the pairing approximation for your Hamiltonian. But if you do have an interaction and a charge conserving model, you're going to have some density of states enhanced at the ends of the chain, but you're not going to have true Majoranas anymore. So that's the same fate for the Majoranas at the impurity point in this case. So what we get instead is these models that have these n-twiddles, and now what you see is that actually the n-twiddle that appears here is this in the lead sector. But the lead sector is the one that gives you the physics of cotanilin. So the cotanilin term chain can actually take you from one lead to the other, but it will do it in a coherent way that is governed by the quantum mechanics that is given from these terms, and vice versa. These terms can flip your spin, and it's the spin lead that gives you, and then it can give you that as you tunnel, you can fluctuate your spin. So let's look at this second term. So this second term is, PowerPoint should be automatically, but okay. So let's look at let's imagine this one is zero now. The intralead is zero, I have only interlead. So as you go from one side of the junction to the other, your spin always flips. So if you take your spin lead, it's a new isospin, that when the spin is up on the left, but is up when the spin is down on the right, for example, and vice versa, for the other projection. So then that isospin is conserved, and so then this is exactly the same as in the junction that Naina already told you about, and this play the role of this isospin conservation. So it's exactly the same physics in that case if you have these two terms in isolation. Okay, so then this. Albeit that in there, that was a band fermion, and now here is a localized fermion, so that's why it's different. This is a property of the Toulouse, of the Emery Kivelson unitary transformation and the Toulouse limit. But you know, this is giving you the same physics as before, and so as you if you tunnel resonantly between the two leads in a quantum coherent way. In the junction, this isospin needs to be conserved, unless when you are in one of the sides, there is an exchange process, and then the exchange process is switching the spin, and then you are allowed to start tunneling with the other term. Okay. So we call this a correlated hopping model, and you have to solve this this combined problem. Okay, so that's a challenging part that I will skip the details, and I can discuss them with whoever is interested. And let's show how the results are different, whether you follow the conventional route or you try to be more consistent with the physics I just discussed. Okay, so conventionally, this is the formula you get if you do the what we call the consistent calculation. This is what you get. So you have these thermal factors, this hyperbolic tangent, the frequencies, the chemical potentials of the different leads entering there, the temperature enters in the denominator. This is the standard thing. And in the conventional case, what you have here is the spectral function of a Majorana fermion. That is what describes your impurity. Here you get some kernel that doesn't have that interpretation as a spectral function, and one of the things is that now the voltage, besides entering as the chemical potentials in these things, it enters actually explicitly in this kernel. So the consistent formulation is capturing in if you interpret this as some kind of spectral function, nevertheless, that means that the consistent framework is capturing the splitting of the contour peak with voltage that the conventional framework was missing. Yes?
I'm trying to understand how you can actually derive this consistent piece, because seems like when I don't make this approximation, then my refermionized problem is not quadratic anymore, and I'm wondering how you're actually able to make this solution.
Okay, so that's the part that I was trying to skip. So you can map this back to a quadratic problem and then solve that quadratic problem. And this is what this graph is here. So you first study what are the different sectors and what's the connectivity of the local Hilbert space and you see that if you actually double the degree of freedom of the impurity, you enlarge your Hilbert space in a way that allows you to map this back to a quadratic problem, and the Hilbert space will have two sectors, one that contributes to the current and one that doesn't. So it's good for the specific calculation that we are doing of transport. Yeah. But it's a subtle point on how to get the calculation done. Yeah. And okay, so in terms of curves, this is the plot line I was showing before for the junction. So you get something like this. So this is how now the consistent calculation looks. The conventionally was just going like that. And first here, now they both start from zero, but they don't start together. So even the slope is different at zero. So before the second order was the first order, the t-squared order was coinciding. Now in the Kondo problem, the j-squared order is zero, and the leading order starts with j to the fourth at the Toulouse limit. So even for very small j, the results are different. And then at large j, what we have is again what you would expect. And large j now is important because j flows to infinity. So you could say that you are interested in that limit. If you imagine a J in a tight binding discretization and J is the largest scale in the problem, then you will create some set of states that will be split, some complicated set of states mixing up the spin because of the exchange, that will be split with the largest energy scale of the problem. So some will be very low, some will be very high. And your tunneling will need to mix those two, and it in the limit cannot do it. So that that suppresses the current. And so
you mentioned that this is J inter or J intra with the other one.
Yeah. So and this J is either the J interleave or the J intraleave that comes into the. It's the same. I didn't say which one because it's the same plot whether you put J inter or intra lead.
With the other one set equal.
With the other one set equal to one. That's what we are plotting. And so now I can set both of them equal to one and look at how things vary with magnetic field and voltage. And this is the a color map of the differential conductance. As a function of magnetic field and voltage. So conventionally looks like this, consistently looks like this. So conventionally actually field and voltage were the same, were not, this was having 90 degrees rotation symmetry. Now we are finding that field and voltage don't behave in the same way. And in particular, this is something that is more consistent with this picture of splitting of the Kondo peak with voltage that we get this additional feature here in the central portion in that part there. So what's a symmetry that on physical grounds you are not really why would magnetic field and voltage be the same, and was just coming out to be the same. And what we are saying is that okay, there was no reason to expect them to be the same, and they are actually not. They are a little bit different the way voltage and magnetic field play out in the problem. And I think just to close. So okay, we have these new ideas that one needs to be careful when using this bosonization, debosonization. So part of the subtlety has to do with the fact that we are looking at problems with, you know, there's a junction or some impurity, and that needs to be resolved, the physics of the interaction between this local object or what happens at the junction or what happens in the interaction with impurity needs to be resolved in a way that is finer than what bosonization is typically usually trying to do. So one needs to be extra careful, and that's what all the things of boundary conditions and all that Nina was explaining. And so it does allow to treat many problems. So in you know, these considerations are pretty generic, so it should be usable, so should be applicable also to other problems in the same class. And so, you know, you can think of other types of junctions involving quantum Hall edges or things like that, other types of quantum impurities. And so this builds on the previous work. As Nina was saying, it depending on the physics of the particular problem, it could be that expanding around Hough-Fillings is a good approximation, and then one can take those and tools to one. But sometimes the physics, the dynamics that you need to capture is different, and so you need to do something else. And this is what we are trying to do. And the ball in the particular example that I just show you, you know, there are consequences. There's a richer behavior with field and voltage. The expected physics of splitting of the Condor resonance is now captured. Before, people were just thinking that you lose it at the Toulouse limit. That was a special feature of the Toulouse limit. So well, now it still survives in that limit as one would expect. So I think this is. This is it, so thank you.
Okay, so our organizer had an emergency because his flight out of Santa Barbara got canceled, and he has a transatlantic one after that, so he's taking care of that.
So you are the...
Well, any other questions?
Anyways, all these subtleties, if someone is interested, we can discuss, because right now we were just kind of going over this.
So what's the next problem you are trying to tackle?
Yeah, quite a few things, because obviously this is telling us that many problems, anywhere where you are putting these bilinears equal to one, like anywhere where those vertex operators were going to be important. So there are many problems, new problems that can be done, and then there are many old problems that need to be revisited and checked now whether they were correctly done or not.
So you can do like a quantum point contact with quantum Hall edge states, right?
Yeah, so these actually people are all the time, right, so we are going to obviously look at other physical qualities like noise and all that, and microwaves, you know, having driving fields, because any problem where there is Hough-Fillings is input, that's a lot of problems actually. And so we are looking at those, and just looking at some prototype results, which are classical results that people have been doing, and looking at interactions. Right now we are having Fermi liquid meets. So now if you take Lettinger liquids, because that's the place where bosonization is used heavily, and people have been using it all the time to calculate transport. And so, yeah, so maybe you should answer, because I'm not having this.
Well, I think we're
interested. Okay, great then. Yeah, so, no, because, I mean, the question is important, so. Yeah, so basically there are lots of problems where it can be.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Yeah, so, yes. So we are revisiting many of the problems where this was used, like all the classic problems, like Lettinger liquid and like related to the kind of things Mike was saying. I mean, for anything where you have some non-equilibrium and even equilibrium, so actually, yeah, we didn't have time to comment, but even the junction, if you look at equilibrium questions also, you get different results. So it has a very wide scope, I think, and we hope that many people will join us in this journey, because it really, I think, puts questions on various results, and also there are many new things going on, experiments that are that require us to use bosonization. So there are many problems, and then one can use this formalism and kind of and we showed for one case that we get really very good physical results for this Kondo problem, which and yeah, so we are working on several things right now. Like for in the Kondo case, there are many questions still, and then like latent liquid, and yeah, if anyone is interested in anything particular, we'll be happy to discuss.
Okay, well, thank you again.
Thank you for the imaginary organizer here who had to take the flight, and then for organizing all this. We are kind of at the end, coming to the end of this program. So.
Oh, no,